is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is...
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong, yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome, Eli Hoshotara, back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this hour of News for the Soul. You can call in to us at 1-646-595-4274. That's 1-646-595-4274. You can also find us on the internet. That is newsforthesoul.com, newsforthesoul.com. And you can email us at ontheair@tellus.net. So that's ontheair@tellus.net. Just to tell us is only one L, but how fitting is that? There's one L. So, haha. So, let's see. So, again, my name is Eli Maya Hoshotara. And so, oh, do we already have a caller online? Hello? Okay. Sounded a little funny, so just wanted to check. So, you can call in for readings. I do coaching in person. Okay. So our lines are haunted. Woo. So we're going to look at, oh, hold on. Compassion. I forgot about the compassion. Okay. So, right. So compassion, let's talk about compassion for a minute. Compassion is very different from interdependent versus codependent. And I've spoken about that in the past. When you got codependent compassion, it's usually where somebody's going to end up taking a hit somewhere because somebody's being irresponsible, or doesn't feel like being self-responsible, or just wants to be supported, or doesn't want to get off their butt, something. And interdependent, it's important to understand, like, what's going to hurt you in interdependency is very different than what's going to hurt you in codependency. In codependency, because there are a lot of really interesting ways that people develop ways of coping with the world. And you have to understand, like, if you're, say, having a rough childhood, as an example, the things that you're going to come up with are going to be more, sometimes the stuff of, like, fairy tales, right? So you've got, like, the princess who, you know, she's in a bad situation and the prince is going to rescue her. He's going to show up on a pony. But, you know, you get the people that are going to be interdependent and healthy when you can attract them, yes, but also when you're going to be able to handle them without going, you know, whack, 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 you know, poke, 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 snarl, 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 when they're doing a lot better than you and you're intimidated. Because, you know, interdependency, when it's in a lot of different areas, that's very intimidating because it shows you all the things that you're not, and then your stuff comes up, you know, are you going to be kept? So codependency is like, well, yes, I would obviously be kept. You know, I shouldn't have to offer anything. People should carry me along. But that's carrying, which is different than compassion. And the versions of, you know, carrying, for example, because you don't have power as a child, as one example, it makes sense you're waiting for somebody to come rescue or somebody else is going to have to intervene. Or you're going to need some sort of help because you don't have the skill set. Especially if you know you're 10 years old, you don't have the age, for example, to be able, you don't have the income to be able to go out and get a house. And so when you are, you know, and I'd be very nervous about anybody who's, you know, unless you're in a country, you know, where, you know, it's the middle of nowhere, and you can let a child stay there to hide out from abusive parents, but that would, like, you know, be a third world countries. We have to be more careful about that up here in North America because of the legal consequences. But generally speaking, you know, outside of those sorts of things, you know, if a 10-year-old's like, hi, rent me a house, and you've got an adult who's like, ooh, this seems like a good idea, you know, my warning signs would be flaring off about that adult, quite frankly. So, you know, these things that you are taught as child, especially if they're being reinforced from other adults who haven't grown out of that themselves, is very different than how you're going to be behaving in interdependency as an adult who's taking care of their own life properly and healthily. So you're not, so codependency is often, you know, I will save you. How dare you not be saved? You're not being saved in the right way. you're not doing exactly what I want. I wasted 10 years on you, you bastard. How dare you not change? You know, you should magically like to live in this place that you don't want to live in. You know, or all these other things that aren't even necessarily healthy for the other person, either not healthy because they're too codependent or not healthy because you and the person you're involved with have very different paths. So, you know, what is, because people have these ideas that come from childhood and the coping mechanisms, again, these magical thinking stuff, like, you know, the wizard and, ooh, you know, maybe you can zap all the bad guys off the planet onto the moon. And I was actually shocked at how many people actually, you know, think that, you know, they wish they had magical powers where they could move bad people to the moon, even as adults. And I mean, it's good. At least you're not, you know, you're not threatening to kill them all, right? So much more compassionate to zap them all to the moon and create housing for them where they can't, you know, hurt anybody else. You know, so that's still a caring form of it, but it's still very childlike, right? You know, this wish and these fantasies. So codependency, you know, tends to have a lot of them. And if people haven't been taught the things that they need to do and then they're really engrossed in that magical thinking, they can really start to get really, really interesting. The more that you go into the magical thinking and the codependency, you can get to the point of things like, you can get things like, you know, unless somebody shows up at a hoop with a hula hoop, you know, hula hooping at your front door, that's how you're going to know you're going to trust them, and you're going to put it out to the universe that unless somebody shows up at your door hula hooping, they're not going to be the right person that you can trust, you know. And of course, you know, to a very extraordinarily large degree, people aren't going to be doing that. And in codependency, that's, you know, really bad and mean and wrong, but it's just the push towards, you know, being more realistic from the universe, which is, I understand a lot of people don't understand those things, but it's always the increase in self-responsibility. And, you know, what about love, you know, having love in your heart? To some degree and in some places, having love in your heart is actually part of your responsibility. Now, this does not mean, I want to be clear, that you take on toxic people, because that's part of your responsibility to have love in your heart. It's not taking on or letting toxic people into your environment. And you don't have the right to toxify somebody else because you're choosing to bring in toxic people into your life. So if you bring them in, that's up for you to deal with. And if you don't know how, then you need to stop bringing them in. or call the police or other legal services as may be appropriate. But, you know, outside of that, you don't really have the right to do that to other people in a lot of cases. Now, there may be some other cases where you do need to ask for help, and you may need to do that. You may need to help in that area, but it really, you know, it does depend a lot. And unfortunately, you know, I can't cover every single last thing that ever existed. So you have to, you know, use your own guidance system. But codependency, you know, they hear that. And if you have enough codependency, people will just use that as an excuse to tank themselves all over again. And that's one of the dangers, you know, when you're when you're dealing with a lot of codependent people and you're expecting them to come out of things, there's a very, very, very vested interest in codependency to flop down and you should take care of me, like extraordinarily invested. People are a lot of the time looking for somebody else to cover the work, either because they don't know how to, and it takes energy and time to figure out. They don't want to, it's, you know, too much resistance. They think it's going to be too much work. And it's a lot of work in the beginning for some things, but it's not as you go on in life. It's actually easier to have things resolved than it is to not have them resolved and then constantly having to cover them. But in codependency, when there's a lot of it, people don't tend to understand that if they're codependent in that area. Interdependent people understand that, which is why, you know, you organize your house right off the bat, which is a lot easier than living in an absolute sty and then, you know, constantly being late for work, et cetera, et cetera. So compassion, you know, in an interdependent format can sometimes be seen as, you know, mean and wrong in codependency. And it's not mean or wrong. It's just asking people to learn or to have to cover themselves or the fact that they're going to have to face reality because you may not be able to help them in certain ways because you have a life. You have things that you need to be doing. And you're never going to be able to make up somebody else's life for them fully and completely. And codependency, you know, you get people who are bound and determined to make that wrong, and they'll screw themselves over, have very little resources, have very little friendships, be very toxic, abusive, the whole nine yards, and they're bound and determined they shouldn't have to come out of it. And then the fact that their life is falling around them, they're blaming somebody else instead of the fact that they need to do their own work. And it's just the universe saying, like, how far do you want to go with this? You know, in codependency, people will often dig their heels in really, really deeply, much to their detriment, and for some people, to the degree that it's going to be much to your detriment as well. Excuse me. And do you have to let yourself get tanked? No, why? It's a decision. People have the decision. They're going to help themselves. They're going to increase their responsibilities, or they're going to suffer. you know, in codependency, you're bad and wrong if you don't take them out of it, but you can't. Because if somebody's bound and determined to tank themselves, they will. And they'll tank you too if they're bound and determined to do that well enough. So it doesn't, and, you know, spirituality says, you know, you don't have a right to take somebody out of their pain and suffering. Now, does that mean that you hold them down in it? No, that would be toxic and abusive in some cases. And again, codependence people, you know, they get very angry, can often be looking for ways to punish other people and hold them down in some cases, not all, thank goodness, you know, because it just depends on what part you're codependent in. But it, again, it explains why codependency is so freaking hard, and it's so full of abuse, right? So interdependency, you know, you're not hurting people by saying no. It's just not here. I'm sorry, you know, I'm busy because I have a life and I have other responsibilities, and it's going to be letting other people down that I have made commitments to. You know, I've organized my life. You know, this is how you can organize your life, and if they're not interested in doing it, you're not mean or wrong for saying no. It's just you may not be able to help them. And it's just part of the karma of it, right? and we tend to think of sometimes here in North America, karma as like being this big bad thing. And some people want it because they want other people to get theirs, you know? but karma, in my experience, like sometimes you don't like it, but in my experience, it's never like, fuck you. It's not like, you know, the universe is sitting there going, fuck you, my pretty, and your little dog too. I've never seen that, unless there's like some negative entity, but in my experience, the karma is just usually like knock, 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 hello, knock, 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 hello, is anybody home? You might want to stop that, pumpkin. Yeah, you're hurting yourself, pumpkin. Oh, you're going to hurt me too. Okay, well, go find somebody else then. And they'll go and repeat the patterns. And the universe was like, well, you know, I'll go try here and I'll do this elsewhere or whatever else. And, you know, part of the karma is that people do lose, they do lose opportunities or they do blow situations because they don't get the proper help because they don't want to do their work in a certain area. they don't want to go for coaching. You know, they don't want to go for therapy. They don't want to go fix a broken leg. You know, you should carry them anywhere, everywhere. And, you know, if you don't do it exactly right in the way that they designed it in their head, you know, wacky, wacky, wacky. And so for some people, you know, it's very much about like, nope. you know, they're going to go for abuse. And it's just the universe going, nope, that hurts, pumpkin, stop that, you know. And then they get like a side effect and a negative side effect. And then they lose the job. And, oh, the world's so mean. It's not mean. It's saying get out of your codependency. You lose a friendship. Oh, the world's so mean. No, get out of your codependency. I'm out of my codependency. Some guy stood me up. Oh, the world's so mean. No, he's codependent. He stood you up. Great. You know, and in some cases it's hard, like if they're good looking, right? Because you don't know. You know, and I don't read every single person. Like when I was single, I didn't read every single person because you bring the powers out that way. And, you know, there is that forcing. I'm assuming, I'm not quite sure about this yet. There's something that's a little bit off about it. I'm not quite sure what. but I think it's the universe saying, like, no, you're going to have to be a little bit human here, you know, not, you know, no, be human here, because you do have to honor your path here, right? And the spirituality does definitely say that you have to honor your path as well as being up here. You know, what are you supposed to be doing on this planet? You are living an earthly existence. And that's more of an advanced, in some ways it can be more advanced, in some ways it's a beginner, you know, they're just very much in the world. and you hear things like be in the world, but not of it. basically, in a healthy format, you'd be saying, like, you know, you have to play your part. There's things that you have to do, but it's just part of the experience. So you do your dishes. You come to terms with the fact that you have to do your own dishes. You know, if you don't like doing dishes, get a dishwasher. If you don't like washing your own dishes, then what do you have to do to hire a maid? How much do you want to hire a maid? Personally, I'd rather do my dishes and have a maid in the house 24/7. That's just me. If you want more than that, then, you know, you do that. So there's different ways that we can figure out how to make things on this earth plane better. It's just not being caught up more in the earth plane than it is in the above stuff. And when you're, you know, in the above, then you can use your daily stuff as practice, you know, and it's complex to explain here, and that's going to take a long time. but basically being present in the moment when you're doing your chores, turn off the music. I know it's so much easier to do chores when you're bouncing around to your music. But seriously, shut off the music if you want an advanced practice, and send love into everything while you're dusting it and looking at how you're taking care of things and how you're setting up the environment to work properly, you know, your house, so that everything works properly, so that people know where things are, so that they're very organized, especially if you have children. You're setting them up to be better romantic partners, so you're not stuck with some of the people you've dated in the past that you don't want to admit you've ever dated. You know, those sorts of things, you know, and that's a very serving thing, teaching your children how to do household chores with patience, using that as a bonding thing, you know, getting them to help with dinner. You can come up with really creative ways to make dinner, get the kids involved, and it teaches them, it lightens your workload, yes, but it also teaches them, and you can make that for a loving experience as opposed to, and I hate to say this, but I was the mom who was like so stressed. I'm like, just let me get this done. Just let me get this done. Just let me get this done. When my kids were little, you know, and I regret that now. And my kids are great cooks, thankfully. you know, but I wish I had like, you know, been more involved in cooking with them and teaching them to cook and stuff like that. So one day when I have grandchildren, I do want to do that with my grandkids. But there are different ways to do that. So, you know, you know, maybe with your romantic partner. I do this one with my honey pie. You know, it's like, okay, the papers. And they're not even my papers, right? And it's like amazing how many surfaces on the house that the papers get onto, you know. And if you have somebody who's not the best at sorting things, you know, sometimes you sort them and you organize them, you know, that helps your partner to be cared for as well as cleans up your house, right? And sometimes you do it with them because they're not going to do it by themselves, you know, and that's the only one I'll give you about my honey pie, but yeah, it's frustrating. but, you know, that being said, he also does a lot of things for me. So, you know, there is this sort of like dance, and sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes you're doing it out of service because I can do papers a lot easier than I can, you know, I don't like cooking every single night. And he can do that and it's not a problem for him. So, you know, we trade that and it works great for me because I'd much rather, you know, do papers. Quite frankly, I would much rather do paperwork than have to cook every night. you know, and he's the opposite, right? So you can, there are ways that you can like dance with it and still be of service without being drained, you know, and have this offering, again, part of its attitude. And this is part of what coaching shows you too, right? Like how to do these things and how to have the dance with it, provided you're willing to have the dance with it, provided you're willing to be open, provided you're willing to learn. And then there's so much more you can do with your life, even on, you know, minute things. Well, what if you don't have a romantic partner? Well, it's the same thing. You're improving your life. When you don't have a partner, you're taking advantage of making all the improvements you want to in your life without somebody else's input. And that is an extraordinarily valuable time. So while you have it, take full advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. Take full advantage of it because whatever height you make in it, as you get settled in those patterns, especially if you are, say, out in the community and you are getting feedback that certain behaviors, even if they don't necessarily seem to have to do with the house, but like, say, healthy eating, if you can really up your game on that and you're used to having your eating habit sabotaged by a romantic partner, if you're going out, you have those healthy eating, you know, patterns sort of validated out there in the world, and you bring that home, and you're eating healthier at home, you may not get a partner who completely 100% eats as healthy as you do, maybe, but maybe you do. But even if you don't, whatever height you could get, you'll find that there will be other patterns that you'd be less likely to engage in or to take on a romantic partner who has, the farther that you grow. And so the more, and, you know, codependency, well, there's no point in moving ahead because somebody's just going to sabotage you. Is that true? If you are not solidified enough in enough different areas, especially the one that you're worried about sabotaging, being sabotaged in, yes, that can still happen. But the higher you go, the less likely it's going to happen, or the more subtle it will be. So, for example, if you're really addicted to fast food and you've got a really hard time coming off that, you know, maybe you've got a partner who still eats processed food and you still eat processed food too, but you're eating organic processed food, which is going to be much better in terms of the chemicals than your regular fast food. Then that's, and, you know, they're doing it at home, but generally speaking, you know, if you do have some processed fast food, you're not hitting the, you know, the takeout for every single meal. That is going to be a huge difference in your health. It's going to be a huge difference in the chemicals you're putting into your body, et cetera, et cetera. And either you'll get somebody who's less sabotaging, so they still eat, say, boxed organic macaroni and cheese like you do, but they're not dragging you to McDonald's every day. Or they'll actually eat healthier than you, and then you're the one that has to keep up, but, you know, at least, you know, you're still eating some processed foods, but at least they're organic, as opposed to being the one who's going through the drive-through McDonald's every day. So, it, you know, wherever you are, whether it's food, whether it's exercising, how clean the house is, how much you do, excuse me, workshops, et cetera, the higher you go, the more likelihood that you will get somebody who's at least closer to you. And even though that may not feel satisfactory to some people, on a scale of 1 to 10, 5 is neutral. Any, like, somebody's a 4, 3, 2, 1, that's sabotaging. Well, a 4 and a little bit sabotaging is still better than 1 that's, like, hugely sabotaging. And 5, it's neutral. They're not offering much, but they're not sabotaging. It's going to be way better than anything that's sabotaging. And then if you could get to 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10, then you're looking at more benefit that you bring in. Okay. So just a minute. We see Aussie Bob is on. So just hold on. Let me finish this, Bob, and then we'll take your call. so you can see that. So you can see all these places, like, it does go ahead, and the universe can support you. But you have to be there, right? And the more that you're there, the more comfortable you're with doing it. And the more that you get closer to what it is that you want. And so, you know, if there's a little bit of sabotaging, well, you know, or you're not exactly where you need them to be in certain areas, it's not always going to have to be a deal breaker. Because if you want somebody to eat super healthy, but you're still eating, you know, boxed macaroni and cheese, then somebody's not judging you on eating boxed macaroni and cheese is not going to be, you know, a big deal breaker for you. It might actually sometimes, in some cases, be a little bit of a relief because then you can eat it without getting the evil eye, right? Or maybe you eat frozen pizza. You know, whatever it is. So it's all good. Okay, so let's see. Bob, I hear you've been in the hospital, and so a lot of listeners have been worried. What's up, Bob?
Ellie, g'day. I've had a crazy couple of weeks. Basically, without, you know, too much sort of personal information, I got bitten by a tick on the inside of my thigh, and it became like a toxin overload for my immune system. So various parts of my body started swelling up that shouldn't, and I resorted to Western medicine because, yeah, I was sort of panicking. But yeah, we found a solution. I've been in and out of hospital 3 times, and we've got a management program now, and it's working okay. And I've been burnt, I've been in car crashes, I've nearly drowned, so a little tick's not going to put me down.
Well, Bob, we have a lot in common.
Yeah, but I love what you were sharing earlier on, because for me, it's codependency thing is such a, for me, it's an insidious sickness in Western society. And I'll just share a couple of things that I noted from your introduction, your speech. And then, if there's anything you can tell me about my life after that, I'll let you know. Okay, what did I write down? Yeah, I started deprogramming myself from codependent behavior in the early 90s. And this little phrase, like, guided me all the way through it. And it is, unsolicited advice is abuse. Now, that little phrase steered me all the way through. It's like, how can I put it? When I'm challenged in my life, when I'm struggling in my life, that is when I learn most about me. But that was the time when all the do-gooders gathered around with phrases like, oh, I know what you would need to do, mate. And I said, well, yeah, I hear you, brother, but no thanks. You know, I'm here to live my life my way, not your way. And which didn't make me very popular. But I'd cap it off and say, like, if you want to be a true friend, mate, be around when I put my hand up and ask for help. So that was the guiding principle of me getting out of codependent behavior. And then you talked about karma. And for me, karma is like, well, what I radiate, I create. So at the moment, I consciously choose to radiate joy. And that's what comes back. Or I consciously choose to radiate abundance, and that's what comes back. So, and my last little phrase, I'm dazzled by the lights in here, can't read what I've written. Yeah, I am the only one that creates my life. So this whole magic thing that goes on in my life just comes from the fact that I am master and commander of this life that I do create, and I take full responsibility for it, which is great.
Good.
When it goes,
yes.
When it goes wrong, there's nobody else to blame.
Yes.
But
even
when it goes wrong. You know, every event in my life holds a lesson for me. I just have to listen to it, you know. So that's my little response to your beautiful introduction. And if there's anything you can see for me that's, you know, pertinent, then, I'm all yours, darling, all yours.
Okay. So one of the things, my concern is, like, out here in North America, rather, ticks usually mean Lyme's disease. So was it, do they do that out there? I'm assuming you're actually in Australia, not just Aussie Bob.
Yeah, if you look at the map of Australia, I'm about 2 o'clock on the coast. So that's Queensland. Yeah, that's where I am, 20 degrees south of the equator. So yeah, it's tropical and topical, and our mosquitoes go around on trail bikes here. We've got some big bugs over here.
Yes, I've seen. Everybody's like, I love the accents of the Aussies. And then you look through a bug and it's like, ooh, the bugs. Reasonable. So what I have is, because I'm seeing some things going through your body that I do not like. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take portions of your limbs and I want you to do a little energetic exercise. So what I want you to do, hold on here. So what I want you to do is take your leg, the portion of your leg. So we're going to do like one long portion at a time. And we'll do one on the air. You could do the rest on your own. But I want you to picture it, and I want you to hold that leg, in that part of your leg in your hand, like one hand on one end, one hand on the other end. And I want you to picture the toxin that's in your body. Okay, and I want you to look at it, and what I want you to do is see the toxin, and I want you to imagine that your cells are sort of like helping to, or your body is helping to excrete a sort of gel, and what it's going to do is it's going to get in there and it's going to grab the toxins, and it's going to soak the toxins up. And so what you're going to do is you're going to see it all climbing in there, and you're going to see those cells inflating bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're kind of like white and creamy cells, and they're going to, this matter is white and creamy, and it's going to soak up the toxins. And it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger in your lake as it soaks up the toxins. Now, what you're going to do with that is you are going to picture it sort of like going down your lake, and it's going to grab more of the other toxins as it's going down your leg. And as it's going on its way, you're going to see it get, you're going to put a thin stream down at once because we don't want to clog anything in your body. But you're going to take this big, how big it got in the leg, and you're just going to let it siphon off, just like pouring a tiny bit of milk out of the carton. And you're going to let it go down and pick up toxins through the body, and it'll start to gain a little bit of momentum, and it'll start to get a little bit bigger, and that's fine. And as it gets bigger and it gets clumpier from all the toxins absorbed, you're going to let it do that. But you're going to let it go down to about your ankle and just keep absorbing, absorbing, absorbing. And so when you do that and you see that it's all got everything, then you're going to start a thin stream again at the end of where the that creamy white substance is, and you're going to make it very thin. You're going to have it go around and come back up through your circulatory system, but you're going to do it in a thin stream so it's not going to harm anything. And as you're doing the thin stream up, you're going to have it guide through your body, and you're going to have it, you know, go up through your arm, et cetera, go through your body so that it can be excreted out when you go to the bathroom. So you're going to let it, you're going to keep it in a thin stream. You're not going to let it, like, trail off into all the veins and stuff like that, but you'll let your body have its wisdom about where it needs to go to be filtered out. But if it seems to release the toxins, you're going to put it back in that thin stream, and you're just going to guide it all the way out and put it into, like, your groin region, your stomach region, wherever it needs to go. And it'll probably settle down lower in your groin just in time to be going out. And then when you, and you're going to let it sort of like sit there. And when you go to the bathroom, you're going to, again, in a thin stream, you're going to have it go out, picture it going out, and you're going to guide it out when you go to the washroom. And in the top, your top side there is still going to be big, but that's okay, because we don't want to overload anything, and we're just going to gently keep this, like, these thin streams at the end of all the bigger things. We're going to let those drain out so it kind of looks like a thinner tube. And as the tube gets thinner at the end, we're going to work our way backwards. And anytime, like, there's a bigger spot where there's a big clump of stuff, we're just going to help it move down the tube a little bit more. So we're going to keep the tube thin, but we're going to do that through more into your abdomen, and then we're going to do that back to your lower leg. We're going to, you know, just help to guide some of the toxins along in the thinner tube. Some of the bigger creamy stuff will come out with it. That's okay. And we're going to, like, straighten and, like, get the tube a little bit smaller in your lower leg, and then we're going to go back up to your upper thigh, and we're going to squeeze it out a little bit again to get that flow going, so that every time you go to the bathroom, we're getting this whole system draining the toxins out of your body. And then that should help to take care of it so the rest of the healing regimen can work. And so anytime you get anything like food poisoning, stomach flu, especially like if it's a stomach flu or food poisoning, you could just picture a ball around your stomach and secreting the poison into, like, these gels, and then doing that so that it comes out of your body. And that's a really great way to help toxins from spreading or for creating more damage, because I really don't like the looks of something that's still being held in your body, and that should help to take it out.
Well, what did happen, Elle, during this process was one of the major areas that did swell up actually discharged through the skin, and it was like I had a watering can in my underwear. And so all this toxic stuff was just raining out. I had to wear a bloke's nappy for a few days, so I don't know how that fits in, but And I've had all sorts of blood tests and things, and there's no sign of Lyme disease. And, you know, the way I look at life, I live my life in every moment, just doing the best I can, and I'm loving every moment. So it's like, you know, if I died now, it doesn't really matter, you know, because there's always the next time round to complete the work. But yeah, life is amazing, and thanks so much, Ellie, and thanks, Nicole, for your kind words. And you can't get rid of me that easily.
Okay.
Thanks so much, darling.
Okay, you're welcome, Bob. I hope you feel better soon. Bye-bye.
I feel awesome.
Okay, good. Let's get the body matching. Okay. Let's see here now. We have, Shayla in New York, and she wants to know if her current school program will be working out for her in the future. Let's see here. One moment. Shayla in New York. One moment. Hold on one moment here. Okay, hold on. So Shayla, basically, I mean, how things are going to work out, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, behavior and, you know, attitude and stuff like that. And that can be a fun one to hear, right? Because like, well, what do you mean my attitude? But, you know, I mean, like, think of anybody who's, you know, just, like, coming up to you and, like, just somebody who your warning signs are, like, flaring about and, you know, why are they doing that? Because part of it is their attitude, right? They think it's what you need. They think it's going to, you know, that it's going to get something for them. So we understand, you know, from that perspective, that attitude really counts a lot. And it's like there's a big block on being able to read this, and what they show is like your attitude and how you're viewing things. It's like that's going to be that's the main sticking point. It's like they wouldn't release it until I told you that. I'm trying to figure out a more diplomatic way to put it, but they're like lock. Like nope, you're telling her that one. See here, a moment. Hold on. Here's the thing. It's kind of like you're either limping along or you've actually got a limp or you're trying to row upstream, like row canoe upstream. but I'm getting like a lot of like hardship, limping sort of energy. And changing your attitude. I mean, here's the thing. I can put you in the best circumstances that are absolutely suited for you. You're going to be like the happiest you're ever going to be. And I put you there and it's like, you're still busy having a hard time. You're still busy suffering. And like, I get like, they're just saying like hardship. and it's the hardship attitude that's really needs to, that you need to work on. Because otherwise everything's always going to be hard. And it does blow situations, and I know it's never easy to understand that when people are in it. but I want you to imagine, like, somebody who, you know, we'll take a guy who's decided you're going to date him, and your warning signs are flaring up about him. And you're like, nope, never, not if he's the last person on earth. And your warning signs are just flaring up, and he's like, you know, he's going to date you, you know, because he's decided that's what it's going to look like. You know, you can start to understand, like, okay, yes, there's very serious problems there, but also bullying you into it isn't going to be the path that's really going to get your interest, and it may not get your interest at all if you've got far gone, ever, even with that cleared up. But he may have more success with somebody else if he didn't have sort of like that entitlement bullying attitude that he's just going to shove whoever he wants into dating him, you know, against their will, so to speak. So when I can start to understand that, you know, it would be a little bit easier for him to get along. Or maybe, you know, if you can't understand that, you've had at some point an experience with somebody where, you know, they're complaining to you, somebody you don't like, as an example, they're complaining to you, you know, everybody hates them, everything's going wrong, and you can see, you just know that if they did A, B, C, D, E differently, people would like them a lot better. You'd probably like them better. You can understand why nobody likes them. You can understand why things are going wrong. And you know, if they made the changes, even if nobody liked them, it would at least be easier to get along with them or easier to be in the same room with them. You know, in some cases, you know, depending on the person, some cases you could actually stand to be at a dinner party with them without your hackles being raised because they're so toxic. And in some cases, you'd be able to sit there and talk to them one-on-one while waiting for a mutual friend, even though you would never want to hang out with them alone. But we understand, like, attitudes, you know, I think those are actions, but a lot of actions that people do come from attitudes, whether somebody's, you know, usually we see those things in the opposite sex easier. You can take a guy who's, like, telling you about all these things that, you know, they think chicks want, and you're like, no! You know, and they're not listening because they're bound to determine that's what chicks want, yeah. You know, and you know it's not true. You know, that, like, they're just really far gone and thinking that's what women want. You know, again, that's an attitude. So there's a lot of examples that, you know, may not line up exactly with what you think of it as being an attitude, but they're all versions of, you know, ideas and thinking processes that result in attitudes, basically. And that is, you know, the biggest thing that's going to make or break you. So in terms of success, you know, if I look at this, even if I, you know, is this going to bring her the most? They're not letting me get away from teaching you about the effect, the impact that your attitude is having on your life. Let's see. So that being said, you know, if I could get you into the best, I can't tell you that. I'm sorry, I can't answer your question because what they're basically saying is, answering the question is probably going to put you in a situation where you're going to absorb more hardship and you're going to create more problems for yourself. So as of this time, you can try again in the future, but as of this time, this moment, I can't answer that question for you. I'm sorry. I really wish that I could. But, you know, your attitude that everything is hard, this isn't about forcing yourself into things that are, into thinking that things are not hard when they're not. But it is about looking and understanding, like, what your contributions are in the moment, you know. So that is, like, you know, so common things I see when people think there's that much hardship are they think other people should take care of things for them, you know. I don't have to be in a good mood if you're in a good, you know, I should be able to use you as a therapist as one example. That can blow things a lot because a lot of people don't want to play therapist. And if, and even though some people, you know, are here to help people with their emotional stuff, that's me. It can still be that you're still going to need time away from that. And you still want people who are going to, in your personal life, in coaching, you know, hey, seriously, come on in for a coaching session. The first one is free. And I'd be more than happy to have you come in and help you. So you can contact me through enlightenmentinthecity.com. But, you know, in personal time, though, you know, people need space, right? They need their space. They need their time respected. They need what they're there at an event for respected. So if you're there for networking, you know, then is not the time to give somebody a coaching session. It's like, hey, we need to focus on doing the networking. This is what we're here for. We're here to make new contacts. So understanding, you know, time and place for helping people that's very important. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen in there. There's, you know, making it seem like your things are harder going in certain moments, and you really want to avoid that at all costs because that will tank you down. Neural manipulation can help a bit. I'm checking out somatic therapy, and basically you have to be willing to do the work enough for that to be of use. And I'm getting a no on that so far. You know, I really wish that there was more that I could tell you. But until you're ready and willing to say, like, you know, hey, you know, being mopey and expecting other people to cheer me up, you know, that's not other people's job. Your job is to look at, like, you know, why am I mopey? What changes do I have to make? And if there's hardship, you know, I can help guide you through that, provided you're willing to let it work on you. But again, that's one of the big factors is, are you willing to let it work when there's not hardship? Are you willing to let there not be hardship when there's not hardship? And I'm seeing that, you know, sometimes that can be really scary for you, or it can be like you've got just too much upset to want to let it be that way, that it's not as hard as it could be because, you know, you're scared of what's going to happen is another common one that I see. So, you know, I mean, basically there's more safety in being out of where you are emotionally than there is in being where you are emotionally. But if you don't understand that, you'll repeat the patterns. Other things that I see, you know, are people who get worried that if they'd be happy, people are going to demand that they're happy all the time. And that's going to be more your codependency, that people will demand you be happy all the time in every single moment. That's not really realistic. But as you get good enough, you will be happier. and then you can be happier even in moments where you wouldn't be currently. And again, that can be something that's a little bit scary because then people get worried about being attacked from, you know, codependent people who are scared of you being happy. But the thing is, if you get enough stuff sorted out, then you just wouldn't have to hang out with those people. And if you get enough stuff sorted out after that, they probably just wouldn't want to go near you because it would be too threatening because you'd be too happy. So there becomes this natural sort of self-protection with happiness that you don't have. And because you don't have it to such a degree, in some cases, people are more likely going to be to reject you because of the amount of upset that you have. Or it's going to be irritating because in codependency, when people get irritated, they'll lash out because you're not cheering up in a way that they think you should cheer up because they heard some idea you're supposed to be happy. So they're trying to force you into it, even though it wouldn't be realistic in certain moments. You know, the cat just died or something, or the dog just died. You know, it makes sense that you know, you'd have at least some upset about that if you did, or even a lot of upset if you did. But somebody being very out of reality of that, you know, you should be happy. That's codependent usage. That's beginner usage. That's the dangerous part. That's the hard part. It's much safer to be out of codependency to that level than it is to be in codependency to that level. So, you know, I hope some of this makes sense to you. And you go out because I understand it can be scary in the beginning to live outside of that much, you know, upset, hardship, especially if that's all you've ever known or if it feels like that's all you've ever known. But that's actually not the way it is. It actually leads to a lot more rejection and a lot more pain and suffering, which is why, from what I've seen, you've always had a hard life, like always. And even as a small child, I still see like hardship. And that, you know, when I see somebody as a young child, that would be a good thing to talk to. Visceral manipulation, neural manipulation. And the nice thing about that is, you know, you don't have to have conversations about it. you know, you can just say, like, you know, whatever, you just want to make sure your body's healthy, you know, what do they see? And maybe they can work on those things with you. Or, you know, you've heard it helps with trauma. You could tell them some of the trauma that you've had. And you're hoping some of that might get released from the body. And you'll still have to work on the emotional stuff after, but it can be easier when there's not physical traumas that are interfering with that. And that can definitely happen. If you are looking at it for that level, you are looking for somebody who's high enough up where they're doing neural manipulation and they're putting that on their website, and also that they're saying that they're dealing with trauma. So good luck, sweetie. I really wish you the best, you know, regardless of what you decide to do. But you know, you can go out. Oh, never mind. Hold on. We do have the opportunity to make improvements. I just want to be very clear about that. It does not have to be this way. So just, you know, I mean, there are changes that you can make. Okay. So thank you so much for writing in, and please feel free to write in again if you have any other questions. Thank you, everybody, so much for calling in and writing in. I saw we had Pat on the line. So, Pat, you can call in next week. We know your number, Pat, so we'd like to get you on the show when we can. So thank you, everybody, so much for writing and calling in. Again, my name is Elmaya Hoshi-Antara. You can find me at newsforthesoul.com. You can also find me on enlightmentinthecity.com. Thank you so much. I love you. I wish you all the best. You know, take care of yourselves. I love you, and bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Hello, so apparently we've got something a little different today. I have ended the call and I have been beckoned back because we have somebody with all ones on the line, and universe is saying, and Nicole, Nicole, my universe, she's saying call back in. So, hello, all ones. Oh, isn't that interesting? Dropped. Okay, so, okay, I guess that was the end of the show. I called back in. I did my duty. They got what they needed. Thank you so much, everybody. Again, you can find me on Enlightenment in the City, 3 p.m. PST, every single Thursday, New York and Chicago. That's your rush hour. I love you all. Take care of yourselves. Hold on. I'm getting another message. Okay. I love you guys. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.